All right, everybody. Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. Now, I've got a lot of questions from guys out there in regards to a possible upcoming civil strife conflict that may or may not devolve into a two-way rifle range. I hope it doesn't, but my ESP is telling me something is going on here. Now, every internal conflict is always different. Okay, there are similarities, but they're not all the same. All right. And I've been using some examples of smaller countries in South America that have basically imploded for one reason or another. And it is looking like the United States is going to be going down the path of a banana republic here, so.
Our current stunning and brave, duly elected, most popular president ever might have delivered the coup de grace to the Republic, but the first shots were fired by useful idiot vaginuts in sheep's clothing peddling lies and propaganda before our former Kenyan-in-chief made it legal. Take a stand against the tyranny and get yourself a copy of Surviving Fourth Wave Fleminism today. A link is in the description.
All right, now, for those of you that are up to speed, Colombia in South America has basically been in a low intensity civil war from roughly the mid 60s to 2016. Since 2016, there's been some craziness going on, so I don't even know if that ceasefire is still in effect or is it being loosely followed, which, you know, I would probably, you know, on the side of caution, I would have to say that. Now, I did some counter-drug missions down in South America, and I had to deal with the FARC. All right, there you are, a communist arm, a guerrilla force in Colombia, and yeah, I mean, those guys are some savage assholes. They were working for a lot of drug cartels for security for the coca plantations, also as enforcers. Because, you know, shit ain't free, and communism, though they preach a strong game, it never delivers. So at the end of the day, you know, shit ain't free, and you gotta pay for stuff. Here on Wikipedia, it says 64 to present, which is 57 years. That's a long-ass time. Now, I'm trying to get to why it happened. This is going to seem very familiar to what's going on right now. All right, so in 1964, a low-intensity asymmetric warfare between the government of Colombia, far-right paramilitary groups, and crime syndicates, and the far-left guerrilla groups, such as the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, and the FARC, and the National Liberation, you know, Army, the ELN. It's some kind of weird acronym. Okay, and then they have the Popular Liberation Army, and they're all fighting each other. So it's like five or six different sides, all, you know, fighting for control of the country. And one of the main reasons they're able to do this for as long as they have is they're in the middle of a jungle, and people can simply go out there and disappear. And, you know, if you want to go out and get them, it requires a monumental effort of time, men, and equipment. All right, so they claim these, you know, the far left or the communists, they're fighting the guerrilla movement, claim to be fighting for the rights of the poor in Colombia to protect from the government, from government violence, and to provide social justice through communism. Let me say that again. Social justice through communism. So are we seeing any parallels here? For the past year and a half, we've had a bunch of people out there going crazy, tearing the whole system down, And they're justifying it with social justice and democratic socialism, which never works. Yeah, and they've got over half a century of bloodshed to show for it. To date, I guess they say 220,000 people died. Most of them civilians. 40,787 were, frontline fighters. Which, it's par for the course. Usually civilian casualties are 3 to 5 times that of the military casualties. And any military casualties usually find the KIAs and multiply them by 2 to 3, depending upon the country you're facing and the weapon systems used against you, to get your ratios of dead and wounded. I don't know where I knew that from, but I think that bit of information came from my LRS days when we used to do basically effects reports. When they would fire already or blow something up, we have to go out there and measure it and count all the carcasses and so forth, which I hated. Okay, so Colombia is still not doing well. And it has been in the shitter for 57 years. It's basically a failed state. And if not for the drug cartel, there probably wouldn't be any industry in that country whatsoever. All right, now we're going to go on to another one. The Great Depression of Argentina, 98 to 2002. Okay, now, to date, I don't believe there's been a active civil war in Argentina. Though, between 98 and 2002, they had several bouts of hyperinflation. They defaulted on their national debt. I believe up to 60% of the country was living under poverty wages in 2001 and 2003. And this is actually the blueprint for the preppers out there, because this is what it'll look like here when the same thing happens. You're going to wind up with a huge depression, massive unemployment, riots. The government basically fell after it defaulted on its debt. Basically, once they default on their debt, they really can't be counted on to pay their bills, and the currency of that country goes to shit. That's just the way it goes. And more than likely, that's going to happen here. They're talking about the bondholders and some of the other effects that are going on here. Most people don't really care why it happened, other than the fact that it just happened. But the thing is Argentina was, a financially strong country for many years. And it has been in the absolute toilet since 2002. It has slowly pulled itself out, but has stagnated for the past, decade and a half. And, with the whole EIU, I don't see them pulling themselves out of this mess anytime soon. Okay, now, everyone's like, hey, how's it going to look here in the United States? All right, now, to get a hint of what that looked like, you have to look at the counties in the United States that voted for Republican. Because the way it looks now, that line is being drawn between the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats are pushing for economic socialism / communism. And when it gets to a breaking point, you're going to see, something similar to Colombia come up here. It'll be a little more complicated because we're going to have Islam and all kinds of that craziness going on top of, basically the blue states versus the red states. And, here is, my interpretation of how this is going to look here. Now, when and if this goes down, it's going to start here in Texas because, the federal government is going to continue to fail at securing the borders. That is one of the main purposes of a government, is to protect its citizens and secure its borders. If it's no longer doing that, we're going to get more rumblings from Texas. And since it is in their constitution, I can quite effectively say with confidence that they'll be the first one. Okay, once that goes, you're going to probably have Florida right on its heels, along with these two other states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma. And then once that takes effect and you have the first four or five states that have, you know, withdrawn from the United States, you're going to see it basically go all the way across the United States and cut the West Coast from the East Coast. Okay. Now, we're not taking into effect, there are whole areas in these states here that want to actually move and be counted by another state. Now, once this happens, there's going to be nothing that's going to keep these counties from basically DD-Mowing and cutting their allegiance to the state they were attached to previously. You're going to see similar things in Michigan. Michigan is held by Detroit, Grand Rapids, Lansing, and I think that's about it, that are historically crazy Democrat, but the rest of the state is red. You're going to see a similar phenomena take place here with a lot of counties. All right, we are all of these ones here. You're going to have a lot of the same thing because, except for New York City, virtually the entire state of New York is a Republican patriot. They love this country, you know. So you're going to, as this progresses, you're going to see large portions of these states basically fall away. Now, the number 38 and 36 keeps coming into mind. I have no idea how those numbers are going to play into this, okay? But once this happens, you know, once the, you know, it goes across the United States to this extent, I can see parts of Canada getting on board, because there's some provinces in Canada that want to leave the country of Canada because of their liberal irresponsible spending policies. Yeah. So once this happens, you're going to see a lot of these other states capitulate. Now, I don't know how long this will take, if it'll be done peacefully, or it'll actually result to, you know, some violence, which I'm envisioning. I'm envisioning when this happens, the federal government coming in and trying to, you know, seize cities within Texas or some of the other states, and, you know, they're going to get shut down pretty hard, you know. And in the meantime, you know, we're going to have hyperinflation, shortages of virtually everything. The sick and infirm are going to start dying because that's the way shit works. And we're going to be wide open for either invasion or, you know, getting our asses handed to us in another portion, you know, of the world. I'm not going to go into that. We all know what's going on over there. But this is pretty much what I'm seeing. Okay. The only powerhouses, you know, that are left once this happens will be New York City, a couple of these states here on the west, on the East Coast. You can see a lot of these other states in here either go neutral or vote to not be included in the craziness that their state is doing. You'll have California over here. Now, California, I mean, what do they actually produce? Not too much. A lot of the industry over the past, you know, 30 or 40 years has moved south. So that imbalance that, you know, you had in the first Civil War, Between the industry and a large majority of the people being in the North and not so much in the South, that's going to go away. All right. So, I mean, this is basically, you know, what I'm seeing here, and it's kind of terrifying. And this is starting to come into, into the national consciousness, because I believe there was a poll, and it averaged out between the conservatives, the liberals, the Democrats, and the Republicans, and the independents. And the average is 37, almost 38% of the people in this country think it's time to break it up. Okay, that is a high number. When that gets around 50, you're going to start seeing shit start moving. All right, and that's relatively soon. You know, the installed dictator that we have and the craziness that went on in the ice cream social, that's just the tip of the iceberg. All right. And another thing that's going to aid in this, you know, vast separation is our own Supreme Court turned its back on several of these states who brought a case against another state to the Supreme Court. And they responded, they don't have any standing. Okay, so you are being, they're taxing, passing laws, enforcing their will upon a state that doesn't even have standing within its own, judicial system. There it is. All right. Hopefully, you guys, this is working out. This is a new format here, so I'll talk to you later.